All right. David, good to see you. Ready for it? Another great service? All right, cool. Well, let's start off like last service and just take a minute, introduce yourself, share a little bit about the mission, kind of an overview of what it is that you guys do and what you're about. It's on.
It's on. Can you hear me? Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to talk. And so my name is David, and my wife and I have been at the Mission Downtown. This is our 18th year there at the Mission. The Mission has been in the community since 77. It's got to start there, just working with families in need, individuals in need. We work with the housed and unhoused alike. And we see people every day from all walks of life that come in. And there we go.
Hey.
Nice. Okay. So yeah, I mean, every day, it's not a glorious work. We leave there dirty and messy. And, you know, before I went to the Mission, my mentor told me, he said, a good shepherd will always smell like sheep. So, you know, I don't smoke, but some days I leave there smelling like cigarettes. I don't do drugs, but some days I leave there smelling like weed. Some days I leave there smelling like I don't even know what it is. But it reminds me that I was with people. So, you know, if I smell as pretty leaving the Mission as I did when I got there, then I know I wouldn't spend time with people. But we see people from all walks of life, and we're not backed by any one church or organization. We don't receive government funding. It's all community supported over all these years. And we just love on people like Jesus loves on people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know last service you asked, how many of you, what was the question? You asked how many of you
have been? Yeah, how many of you have never been to the Mission? Never been to the Mission. Okay, so you're going to get double dog dared today.
That's right.
To come down. So
that's the first challenge.
That's the first challenge.
Go,
you know?
Go and see what the Mission is doing, because it's an amazing ministry. All right, well, thank you for being here. Sorry for the little microphone snafu.
No worries.
We figured it all out. Can you share with me a little bit about the meals that you serve, the amount of meals, and the amount of people that you serve each week?
Sure. Yeah, so the Mission in and of itself, for those that aren't familiar, we're not a shelter, we're not a transitional housing, we're not a work program, we're a day center. So for that housed and unhoused alike. So whatever their needs are, they come in. If it's for a meal, a hot shower, a change of clothes, connection to other resources, we're there to provide that. And we do it through the love of Christ. As far as our meals, you know, people need to eat. And people ask, you know, what do you need to be able to come there and eat? Just be hungry. Just come in and eat. We do a continental-style breakfast in the morning. We get baked goods from Panera Bakery and Publix Bakery, as well as produce from Farmer Jack each week. And so we do continental-style breakfast, and then we have lunch. And then right now we're doing about 200 meals a day, Monday through Friday. And then in the evening time, we have other groups that actually come in and use our facility. They either use our parking lot or use our dining room to do evening meals, which is pretty cool. So, you know, kind of having other churches and groups coming in. So, you know, 5 days a week, the Mission feeds. But then there's a couple other places that feed on the weekend. So 7 days a week, there's at least two meals in this city. So if you see someone with a sign that says, I'm hungry, that's by choice because there's plenty of food. And they're all well fed. So, yeah, that's what we do. And then we also have our food pantry as well. Families come in and get to shop. And, you know, we can't fill your pantry, but we are supplemental. But you come in, we let them shop for their own food, and we do it based on household size. So, of course, a household of seven needs more than a household of three. So we let them do that.
So feeding people's meals throughout the week, throughout the day, and then also providing some meals for them to go and take home as well to feed them. So that's awesome. That's a huge mission. You heard the number, 200 meals a day. Monday through Friday, and then other people getting, that's awesome. I mean, that's a huge, huge mission of what you guys are doing, which means there's a big need there to help supply the need for those that you reach. Okay, so share with me maybe just some God moments that you've experienced over the last year, over however many years you've been serving there, just some things that have been really impactful to you, or what do you see as being most impactful at the Mission?
You know, just the simple fact that anytime we as a Christ follower, we serve someone else, that's a God moment. Because by nature, that's not going to happen. We worry about our own selves, our own well-being. So, you know, just being there and the volunteers that we have, you know, showing up day in and day out, to me, that's a God moment. You know, when someone comes in, you know, success for us may look different than other people when you ask them, you know, what is the success stories for your organization? And, you know, for us, it's when someone comes in and says, I didn't drink yesterday. I didn't get high last night. You know, when, you know, we got a girl named Renee I've been working with for a few years, you know, talking to her, trying to encourage her up and down with addictions, mental health. You know, she come in last week and left a note, said goodbye, I'm going to go kill myself. And walked out, you know. So, of course, you know, we go looking for her, you know, and then we finally find her, and we talk through it, and, you know, she didn't kill herself that day. You know, it looks different for people. You know, when we had one lady that was on food stamps and disability and come to the mission for years for Christmas, and her kids came up through that, her grandkids came up through that, and just kind of challenging her to do something, to move, and, you know, and she finally, she did. She got a job with Amazon, you know, and she came in. I remember the day she came in, she had her disability check in one hand and her Amazon check in the other hand. Said, this is my last disability check, and this is my first check to my new life, you know, and she's still there. You know, that those are God moments, you know. We lose people every week at the mission to death, you know, overdose, or they get hit by a car, or some accident, or something. Like, you know, especially with drugs in our area, those are real moments. So when we see someone who is one way, and God turns them around, I think that's why I like our address. Our address is 180 East Central.
Oh, wow.
You come in one way, but you're making a 180 and going the other way for Jesus.
Yeah.
I love that. And it's messy, and it's dirty, and I like that too.
Yeah.
Those are all God moments.
Yeah, that's amazing. And, you know, I'm sure that you shared a few, but those are stories that are happening every day, every week that's going on, and that's the people you're reaching. And I talked a little bit, and I'll talk about it a little bit later. You were there, and you're meeting physical needs for people, the physical needs that they have, but really what it's about, and you just shared, it's really coming to meet their spiritual needs as well. Coming alongside them in the hurt and what they're dealing with and in their brokenness. You can feed them a meal, but as you feed them a meal, you get to hear their story. You get to share your story. And then you said last service about bringing God's story into both of your stories. And it's a beautiful thing that happens where we get to experience God moments with them and see God turn them around. So, man, thank you so much for sharing that, encouraging us in that. So what we're doing here is we're looking to mobilize our church. And when I say church, I say we're looking to mobilize you individually. You know, we already said the challenge is go visit the mission just to get a tour, just to see what they're doing. That's your first challenge. But we want to mobilize you to come alongside and begin serving and stepping into this. And that may look different for each person. So what are some ways in which an individual can get involved daily or weekly?
Yeah, you know, if you're a man and you work, if you're a husband, if you're a dad, if you're a woman that works, you're a mom, you're a wife, whatever your job skills are, your talents, your interest, all those are ministry opportunities to disciple other people. You know, so yes, it takes food to feed people, and food is not cheap. I got two teenage boys, and I just got to look at them and say, stop eating, because you're getting ridiculous. You know, so for families, you know, food costs are going up. Everything's going up. So, you know, families that come in, we need food, kid-friendly food, especially during the summer. Our numbers go way up because kids are out of school. Kid-friendly foods, you know, Chef Boyardee, mac and cheese, canned meats, peanut butter and jelly, things that maybe kids can make themselves, or we'll have older siblings bring younger siblings to the mission to get something to eat or get food. Because sometimes, you know, parents may be working, parents may be absent, parents may just be flat out incapacitated and not available. You know, so those are ways, you know, you come in. But also, you know, clothing and shoes and undergarments especially, those are huge right now. You may get, you know, upgrade your wardrobe or upgrade your undergarments. You know, some of those stuff, they're still good and clean, and, you know, we can use those. You know, you get soap or shampoo or conditioner or toothpaste or cologne or body spray, and you use it once and you don't like it. Don't throw it away. Donate it. We do daily showers, you know, so folks can use that. You know, those are things that you can do to get involved. But maybe you work during the days that we're open. You know, we're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 3:30. You work during that time. Okay. So be our voice. on your job. Do a food drive, collect those things, bring them in. You know, those are things you can do. And I didn't mention this last service, so I need you to tell the first service folks this too. Some people ask about Saturdays and weekends, what we do. We're closed typically, but there's been such an interest. We'll have groups do a breakfast on the Saturday morning from like 9 to 10:30. Group will come in and do a breakfast, usually do about 75 people, 100 people. But they get to serve breakfast and get to talk with people. And I was looking at this Connect group card. There's 8 groups on here. I mean, if each group took one Saturday a year, at least 8 times a year, you're going to be able to provide breakfast at the mission. That's pretty cool outreach.
Wow.
And that's what we typically have small groups do. They'll come in, they'll bring the breakfast items, they'll serve it. And it's a great ministry opportunity. It really is.
Oh, I love that.
So, yeah, there's tons that can be done.
I'm glad you shared that.
That's yeah, great. Yeah.
Fantastic to know. There are opportunities for you to go and check it out, to go and serve, whether you're working all week during their opening hours or not. So each of us can do something to get involved. I love what you shared about. If you got something that is lightly used, gently used, don't just toss it. Bring it. You didn't like the product? Give it and donate it to
and BOGOs mission. Too, when you're a store. Buy one, get one. Get one for you, give it away.
That's right. That's what we talk about the BOGOs and it's not buy one, get one. It's buy one, give one. So as you see those BOGOs, you're out there, buy one for you and give one to someone in need. And that's a great way to look at that. So we talked about the different ways in which they can give. You know, I missed this question last service, and I want to present it here. Are there any other, I would say, big needs that you guys might have, any upgrades or equipment or anything like that, that you would say, hey, you know what, we're in need of this and it's on its last leg, or we're looking to upgrade, whatever it may be. Do you have any needs like that?
Yeah, we do. We just had to replace a AC unit in our kitchen, and I know we're going to need to replace one in our food pantry, and we do a little split system where you don't have to worry about running ductwork everywhere. I know we're going to need to replace one of those in our food pantry in the next few months, getting through summer. So that, and then we also have a back area behind our cooler and freezer. It's a concrete area, and it's just kind of open to the elements. But, you know, when it's raining and things like that, we have people that will huddle underneath our little, you know, awning in our front door or on the side. But, you know, for our unhoused neighbors, you know, we thought about, man, if we had to set that little, it's like maybe a 12 by 15 area. So it's not a huge area, but if we had like a carport over it, at least it'd give a place where people could gather when it's raining and be out of the elements. You know, moving forward here in the right near future, we will be making some announcements on some ideas to expand and do some things different. And so, you know, stay tuned for that.
Gotcha.
Okay. We just have to find a way to keep helping people more effectively. And, you know, when you're out in the rain, that sucks. And your shoes get wet, your socks get wet, and you walk and you get blisters. So, like a little covered area, that'd be really neat.
Okay. So there's a AC need there, and then the covered area seems like it'd be a really, really big need. And so that's one of the things we could share as well. Like, let's say, okay, you want to be generous and give, and that could be a need that you could meet for the mission. It would be huge and be helpful. So just more ways to think about how we can help and how we can come alongside what they are doing. Okay, so you talked about the food items, and in some of those, you know, I had asked you about some of your bigger needs, and so you had said because it's summer, you have a lot more kids coming in, and so there's this need for kid-friendly foods, peanut butter and jelly, sliced bread, Chef Boyardee, you know, mac and cheese, pasta, stuff like that. And so he was sharing that with me, and so what we wanted to do as a church, we will be doing a food drive. So when you came in this morning, if you saw it, there is some shelving out there, and there's already some items on there. And so what we're going to be doing is we're asking for those 4 items. I think it's going to be over the next probably about 5 to 6 weeks. And so we're asking for you guys to bring those items in. Peanut butter jelly, the bread, Chef Boyardee, and mac and cheese. And you can bring them in on the weekends. You know, thankfully, the space is available and open because the coffee shop is open during the week. So you can come in during the week and drop it off if you're just driving by or out shopping. You see the BOGO, buy one for you and bring it in here. And so that's one way that we are looking to partner with his organization. As a church, we're going to start a food drive, and you can be a part of that as well over the coming weeks. Okay, one more thing for you before you go. Is there one thing that you would like to communicate about the needs of the people, if there was one thing you'd like to communicate about the needs of your people, what would it be?
You know, I get that question a lot. What is the greatest need for those that we serve? Is it money? Is it jobs? Is it housing? Is it yeah, those are all huge. But the greatest need is a support system. Because reality is, not a single one of us here in this place has gotten to where we are by ourselves. You may think you have, but you haven't. It took people to surround you, to love you, to walk you through it, to hold you accountable, to deflate you when you got a little, you know, too full of yourself. That support system, that's what we need. So for us at the mission, you know, these are our neighbors. They're not our clients. They're our neighbors. No one wakes up one day and says, oh, I'm going to be homeless or I'm going to be a crack addict. No, something happened somewhere, but they didn't have the support system there to recover and to get back where God wants them to be. So that's our greatest need. So whatever, wherever stage you are in life, we can use you at the mission. It's not the quality, it's not the quantity, it's the quality. Come in, play a game of checkers, have a conversation with someone, come do an arts and craft, come serve a meal. Just come and say, hey, here's my story. What's your story? Let's talk about Jesus' story. That's our greatest need for our folks that we serve is a support system. So whether you come to the mission to support some people or you support each other, if you're not serving someone, serve someone who is. That's how I see it.
Wow, that's really good. Well, David, man, we appreciate you for coming and sharing with us about your passion, your heart, your mission for people to come alongside them to meet their physical needs, also their spiritual needs. And so we want to come alongside you and help you in any way. And so we've already done this, and so I want to present you with the big check. So last service, we kind of surprised him with a check for
$500. I was surprised.
For $500. Yeah, he didn't know, and so he's going to get that. But let me tell you something. It's a big check, and we wanted to get a picture and all that good stuff. So last service, I presented you with a $500 check, and I kind of challenged people and encouraged people to come alongside it. After service, someone come up to me, hand me a $500 check, and they wanted to match what we've given you. So you'll be walking away today with actually $1,000, not just $500. And that's a part of it, too. And so, yeah, here's the check, $500 for cool. From Kairos to the mission of Winter Haven. And we are so thankful that we get to partner with you guys in any way that we possibly can. And we look forward to even, you know, what God is doing through you and how we can come alongside you and all that you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You take that.
Yep.
And we appreciate you, man.
Oh,
all right,
no,
let's.
And, I'm sorry. Somebody asked me after service where the mission is.
Oh, okay.
We're right downtown on Central Avenue between the Bond Clinic and Post Office.
Yeah, and you have some pamphlets over here.
Yeah, I got some pamphlets over here.
If you wanted to chat with him, he'll be here after service. Can I have your microphone?
I guess.
Yeah, right. here's what I want to do. I want to hand it over for prayer and praise as we transition into the sermon. So I'm going to hand it over to Maddie. Yeah, that's right. Get excited about it.
Is ready. Okay, good morning, friends. Happy Sunday. So we're going to talk about prayer and praise here. So if you look in those seat backs in front of you, there are going to be some cards there. Some of them are note cards, some of them are next step cards, but one of them is the prayer and praise card. So here at Kairos, we have a prayer team who goes through these cards every week just to pray for you, to celebrate with you, just to really build that community here in our church. So go ahead and grab one, start getting that filled out for yourself. Usually it's not this awkward because there's music playing behind us, but not today. So get ready for the awkward silence because it's coming. I'm going to talk about some of the ones from last week, and then I'll give us some time to write down, and then I'll pray us out. So some of the prayers that we had last week, we had some people praying about how the Lord will use us in their next season of life. Someone said, prayers for my understanding of what God wants me to do with the life he has given me. Help me to look to him in every aspect of my life so I can become the disciple and witness of his awesome love. We also had people praying for salvation for unsaved loved ones, and a lot of people whose families or themselves are just dealing with just health issues and today. So on the other hand, some of the praises that we had is a lot of people were so thankful for the connect groups that they've gotten into or just continued to be in. There were lots of those about that. We had someone else say, praising God for breaking me down and knowing the only way up out of the valley is through him and my understanding of his love and fruits. This one was funny. I thought Miss Kim Masson, who runs our kids ministry, who is incredible, actually got to sit in service last week. So she put on here, somehow I'm in service. So I just thought that was fun that she got to be out there. And then we also had a lot of people talking about how awesome our worship team was. That's another praise for this week, too, because Robbie, their leader, is out of town. So the fact that they got here and got it all done and we'll have some more awesome music from them later is just super incredible. So I'm going to give you a second to go ahead and get your cards out to write. I see some people are kind of already writing. And after we've given that a little time, then I'll pray us out. They got us music. Now it's not awkward. All right, go. I also just wanted to share that the verse of the day through the YouVersion Bible app, I thought it was just a really good one. So Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday that we just get to be here and gather together and to worship you. We thank you for the awesome guest that we had today and his company, the mission, and just all the great things that they do, and that Kairos was able to bless them with $500 and that we had someone even double that for them. We pray for everybody here today, just all their struggles, their triumphs, everything that they're going through. We also pray for some of the people in this church that we know this morning are even having some health issues. So far, it's looking okay, but still we turn that situation over to you, Lord. We pray for the rest of the service today, that it goes well, and that whatever Pastor Brent has to say today, it is something that somebody here needs. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Maddie. So I do want to take some time to share a quick word with you today that kind of goes along with some of the things that David was sharing, we were already talking about. But one of the things that I shared is that when, you know, oftentimes we're given opportunities to meet the needs of others. And many times that could be a physical need, but I think in all those opportunities, God is also calling us to come alongside them spiritually, to enter into their story and to walk their story. David talked about the most important thing is support. And I didn't share this last service, but this is one of the things that is especially important in foster care as well. And what I've noticed being a foster parent and an adoptive parent is one of the things that these parents, the biological parents, need is support. They need someone who's for them. They need someone to come alongside them. They need someone to love them. And oftentimes they're doing it alone. They don't have family. They don't have the friends. They don't have a church community that'll be there for them to help them through whatever it is they're going through. And it's such an important thing. And we all need it. It's essential to life. You know, God created us for relationship, well, ultimately with him, but he also created us for relationship with one another. And when we go through life alone or go through hardship or go through trial alone, it is so, so hard. And one of the big things for us as we go through this life is that we are also just observant to what is going on around us and to what other people are going through. And so today, that's what we're going to kind of talk about as we dive into the passage today. I actually have two stories that I want to share. The first one's from John chapter 6. We're going to read verses 5 all the way through 13. And it says this, and it'll be on the screen if you want to follow along. If you have your Bible or phone, it's John 6, verses 5 through 13. It says, therefore, when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, where will we buy bread so these people can eat? Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down, and the men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves of bread, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, and they had as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told his disciples, collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they collected them, filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. God, use your word, use your spirit to speak to us today, to challenge us today, to encourage us today, to open up our eyes to the needs of others, or maybe change the perspective about what we're currently going through in our life. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So here's what I want to kind of pull out today from this passage and a couple other ones, and that is this, that in our lives, as opportunities come along for us to step, come alongside other people, we need to be a people that are recognizing the needs around us. But it's not just a recognizing, it's not just seeing something and say, oh man, someone should do something about that. But rather it's a recognizing it and then mobilizing to do something about it. So we're called to recognize and mobilize to see God multiply his miracles. And that's what's taking place here in this story. There's a need that is seen. And so Jesus, right out the gate, he recognized, he noticed that these people either A, were hungry, or they would be hungry. And, you know, Jesus being Jesus, you know that this is something that it's not just about the physical need, but it's also about the spiritual need. So maybe they are physically hungry, but at the same time, they are also spiritually hungry. And they need the bread of life to teach them, and they need the bread to be fed. And so Jesus recognizes that, and he says, what are we going to do? I see that there's a need. Let's fill it. And now, immediately, the disciples come in, and I'm not coming down on them about this. It was just, it's one of those things, you look at it, and you look at it from a realistic standpoint, and you're like, Jesus, how are we to feed them? Right? And so we have Philip that comes in, and he's like, man, even if we had this amount of money, it still wouldn't be enough. And then, you know, Andrew comes in and he says, well, okay, we do have something, but even that little bit, how will that feed so many? And I love, you know, Jesus, he doesn't really answer directly. He just says, all right, just tell everyone to be seated. Let's take what we have and let's multiply it and distribute it. He's saying, yes, while your little or the little that we have may not be enough, God is a God of miracles, and he can multiply what you have to reach many different people. And maybe this is something that we do in our lives. We see a need, and we wonder to ourselves, how can I do anything about that? With the little bit that I have, maybe the little bit of time or the little bit of resource, whatever it may be, how can I do something about this? We say things like, what do I really have to offer to this situation? But really the reality is, if it's a situation that you have recognized, God is calling you and challenging you to step in it, to do something about it. With whatever you have, whatever gifting, whatever talent, whatever resource, whatever time you have, he's saying, step into this thing. Because at the end of the day, God combines and multiplies our little plus the little that others have to accomplish a lot. So the truth is that Jesus can multiply what you currently have to reach the multitudes. And we see that in this story with the boys, bread and fish. One boy was willing to give what he had. And Jesus saw that, and he fed 5,000. And you think about that story, and you think about, well, if that's what one boy could do, what could one church do? What could one church do with the resources that they have? See, the truth of the matter is that we are positioned here today and now to reach a need that David and his ministry are serving in already. God is at work there, and God is at work here. And so God has positioned them to meet the needs of the people that come. And so what it is you and I have been positioned to take what we have and give it to him to get out to the people that need it. And you might say, well, this little bit's not enough. Listen, you don't have to worry about how God will do something that he calls you to. All you have to do is recognize and mobilize, believing that he will do it. So you take what you have. I take what I have. And we give it to David, to his team, to the mission, and they get it to the people that need it. And you see this multiplication process take place where people are being fed both physically and spiritually. And it's a beautiful thing to be a part of, whether you had a big gift to give or a small one, whether you had a lot of time to give or a little bit. He already said it. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. It's about coming alongside these people with exactly what God has given you right now. He positioned each of us and provides each of us with exactly what we have to join him in the work that he is already doing. And what that means is that you and I are called to obediently step into that, faithfully step into that, to recognize, to mobilize, to see him multiply his miracles. One of the really cool things that I love about this story in verse 11, it simply says this. It says, he distributed them to those who were seated with the bread and also with the fish. And at the very end, it says, as much as they wanted. And I love that because it wasn't just, hey, give them just a small piece. Let's just make sure everyone gets something. No, when we get involved with what God is doing and what God has planned, God gives abundantly, exceedingly to overflowing. And so they had as much as they wanted. And it's a beautiful thing to come alongside that and see that when we take our little and put it in the hands of an almighty God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he scattered, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So what's he saying? When you and I give what we have, whether a lot, whether a little, it will be given back to us. The same thing is shared in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over with no space left for more. For with the standard of measurement you use when you do good to others, it will be measured to you in return. And so God takes what we give and he multiplies it and he blesses everybody, blesses us. So God provides for our needs as we provide for the needs of others. Now this kind of segues me into the other passage of scripture that I wanted to share, and it's from Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. And this is what it says, I know both how to have a little and I know how to have a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you did well by sharing with me in my hardship. But and in verse 18, it says, but I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. And I love it. He says, I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. So you see what happens here? There's this church in Philippi that comes along Paul and meets his need in his hardship. And he becomes fully supplied. He gets it in abundance. And then in the response, he says, because you have been willing to provide for me, God will supply all of your needs. And so when we share with others in their hardship, oftentimes we think we can only share when we have an abundance, but I think we can share and we should share with others in their hardship even if we're experiencing our own, because even our little can be a lot to somebody else. You see, often meeting the needs of others, it helps us to see our hardship or see our circumstance from a different perspective. We walk through it with somebody. We hear their story. We hear what they're going through, and it brings into perspective what we are going through. And maybe it's not as bad as we were painting it out to be. Maybe we didn't have it as hard. Maybe we don't have it as good as we used to, or this isn't where we expected to be, but it's also a blessing what we have. And in our blessing, we're called to bless others. And as we give to other people in their hardship, whether we're in hardship or blessing, maybe it'll lead us maybe to a place where we move from in our own lives a hardship mentality to a blessing mentality. That what we have now, what God has provided us with, is a blessing. And it may be hard and it may be tough and it may not be what you expected and it may not be how you had planned it, but God is providing for you. And as you step into these other stories, as you step out to serve others, support others, come alongside them, both physically and spiritually, and it brings into perspective our own life, our own hardships, our own things, and maybe leads us to, you know, thanking the Father for all that he's given us and all he's provided for us. Paul received all he needed, more than he needed, fully supplied. And he did so by one church recognizing a need and mobilizing to meet it. And we saw God's promises. What is God going to do when we meet the needs of others? He's going to supply all of our needs. So when we recognize and mobilize to meet the needs of others, that's it. God supplies all of our needs. Just recently, actually this past week, I got a message from Ingram because we're sending our kids to camp. It's the first time for Kairos that we're having our movement students go to camp, and it's awesome. We're so excited, and we found one that's local, and it's great. Camp can be expensive, and the price of this camp was pretty expensive, and I recognize that in my own life, for my own family, and I know the families in my church, and I know the kids, and I was just like, man, this is a hard amount of money to come up with. And so with the staff, I said, hey, what do you guys think about us cutting that cost by $100 for each student, so that they can maybe afford it? And so we did that faithfully, obediently. You know, and on paper, it wasn't really an expense that was like, yeah, we can add that and be okay, but it was something that God was calling us to do because we wanted to provide for the needs of these students so that they could go and be blessed. And so we did that. And Ingram sent me an email, and he's like, yo, that payment's due, okay? Like, they need you to pay the remainder. Some of the remainder was that was gonna be paid for by students or by, you know, some of the sponsorships we got, but then there was the large chunk that that we had to cover. And so I sent out a $5,000 payment for the camp. It's one of those things, you do that and you say, all right, God, I'm believing that you're gonna supply all of our needs. Very next day, I see something come through and someone had given a $10,000 gift to our church. And you see God show up in those ways. He says, when you're faithful and you're obedient, man, I will supply all that you need and then some. It's overflowing. You know, this is something else that we do within our church. And if you've ever heard of it or been experienced it, we do something called meal trains. And we try to come alongside people who are going through difficult times. Maybe it's a hospital, maybe or their sickness, maybe it's just a hardship. There was a car accident. Maybe it was a pregnancy. And so what we do is we set up meal trains for the church to come alongside and provide meals for people who are just going through something right now. And I you know, for me and my family, this is something that we do, and we do it as a church, but I could easily say, man, I have a large family. I got, you know, he talked about having teenagers and that amount of food that they eat. Yeah. And so I have seven mouths to feed, plus my wife and I. And it could be one of those things we'll say, I know they're in need, but at the same time, I don't have enough to give. But I say, you know what? God has provided all that I have. And I'm going to take a moment to provide for somebody else and meet them where they're at. And I kid you not, every time that I do it, God blesses me abundantly, exceedingly, to overflowing. And he wants to do that for you as well. And I maybe it is just that perspective shift from I'm living in hardship to, now you know what, I'm living in blessing. And in my blessing, how can I bless others? Would you guys pray with me? God, right now, I'm thankful for you and all you give to us. Of course, the greatest gift you ever gave us was your son, Jesus. There's no price that we can put on that. There's no price that we can put on the love that you have for us, the gift that we didn't deserve. So thank you for that. You provided greatly for our spiritual needs so that we can be reconciled back to you. But you also supply for us daily the things that we need. And though we may be experiencing hardship or going through difficult circumstances or things that didn't pan out how we wanted, God, you were there. You are blessing us. I pray today that that is something that we recognize and we celebrate that and we have joy in that. At the same time, I pray that you would challenge us, have your spirit move us, first and foremost, to be observant. To be observant to what's going on around us, to what people are going through around us, to the struggles that are happening at the fast food restaurant, in the grocery store, at the gas station. Yes, God, we have our own worries and we have our own concerns. We are called as your people to reach out and to love and to show love in a generous way. So I pray that we would be that people, that we would come alongside people in our community, that we would come alongside organizations like The Mission who are doing an amazing work providing for the spiritual and physical needs of others. God, thank you for who you are and all that you're doing. Continue to bless what we're doing here. Continue to bless the work that The Mission is doing as well. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.